right? In word or in deed. We would learn to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we go on to message 5, and the title is Doing All Things in the Name of the Lord Jesus. This is a continuation from message 4, the message last night, where we need to be those who take Christ as our life. How do we take Christ as our life? Well, this morning in the first session from Colossians 3:17, we take Christ as our life by in our living doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then in the second session, we will go on, still in Colossians chapter 3. We take Christ as our life by letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly and letting his peace be arbitrating in our hearts. Well, this little phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, it's a common phrase among Christians, but it's misunderstood and often misapplied. So even as we go through this outline, we need the Lord to be shining, to be renewing our mind, renewing our understanding of what it means to do things in the name of the Lord. So Roman numeral 1 says, the highest name in the universe, the greatest name, is the name of Jesus. Have we seen this? There is no other name as high and as great as the name of Jesus. So in Philippians 2:9-10, Paul says, therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, the name, the name. Not just a name, the name. It's unique, the name, which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In this universe, there is no higher name than the name of Jesus. Oh, what a name! Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! So A says, the Lord emptied himself, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to the uttermost. But God exalted him to the highest peak. By his exaltation, the Lord has been given the name, which is above every name, far above every name that is named. From the time of Christ's ascension, there has never been a name in history higher than the name of the Lord Jesus. The name is the expression of the sum total of what the Lord Jesus is in his person and work. And since his ascension, the name of Jesus is vested with all authority and with all power. In his name is the highest authority. In his name is the highest power. We need to realize all that is included in the name of Jesus. And this last point, D, this name is the expression of the sum total of what the Lord Jesus is in both His person and His work. You know, if I were to say Jonathan, Jonathan Mock, who would I get? Would I get you? Would I get you? Are you clear? Are you sure I'm not calling you or you? Who am I calling? Let me ask you, who am I calling? Why are you so confident I'm calling you? There are 200 persons in this room. Are you sure I'm calling you? Why? Because that's your name. So you can never separate the name from the person.
Amen.
So when the highest name is bestowed on Him, it means He is the highest person in the universe. And His work is the highest work. And with His name, there is the highest power and authority. And this is the name that we need to learn to do all things in. Do all things in this name. Do all things in this person. And this person is the highest person in the universe. And His work is the highest work in the universe. You know, when we are brought into service to the work, the problem is we always look at our own name, which means we look at our own person and we begin to doubt, how can I carry out this service? How can I carry out this work? Well, we have to learn, don't look at your name. Right? And of course, the other extreme is we may be brought into the work and we want our name associated with the work, thinking that the result of the work was according to our person. But actually, what we need to see, God has not committed a work to you. He's committed a person to you. He has committed His Son to you. And His Son, His person is the highest person. His work is the highest work. His authority and power is the highest authority and power in the universe. It's in this person that we can carry out our work and service to God. So we need to treasure this name, the name of Jesus. And we need to appropriate, we need to know all that is in this name, meaning to know all that is in this person. So Roman numeral 2 develops this. In the name of the Lord Jesus actually means in the Lord Himself. For the name denotes the person. So in Colossians 3:17, when we do all things, whether it is our words or our deeds, we need to learn to do all things in a person, in Jesus. So A says, being in the name of the Lord Jesus means that God has committed His Son to us, that we partake of His name. This is the highest name. And that the Lord has given Himself to us and is willing to acknowledge everything that we do in His name. But here we need to be clear. This means to do everything in His person. In other words, if we are to do something in the name of the Lord, We do it in His person. And the Father is willing to acknowledge it is not you or I who are doing it, but it is His Son. And if we do things in His Son, our living and our service is backed up by the Father. It's backed up by God. Just like the Father backed up the Son. I'd like to read to you John 14, 10 and 11. Verse 10, the Lord says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if not, believe because of the works themselves." So the Son did everything in the Father, with the Father, by the Father. Even the words that the Son spoke, they were the Father's words. How do we know that what He spoke was in the Father, by the Father, was the Father's words? He says, believe because of the works themselves. That whatever He spoke in the Father backed it up. The Father carried it out. The work was done. Well, today, in our living, in our work, in our service, we need to realize we are not here to carry out the work in ourselves. But rather, the Father has committed the Son to us. He's given the Son to us. And He wants us to do everything in the Son. And the Father is waiting to back up, to acknowledge everything that we do in the Son. So we go to Acts chapter 3. Here we are in Jerusalem. And we have Peter and John going up to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. And there's this lame man, lame from birth. And when he saw Peter and John, he began to ask them to receive something from them. And then Peter, gazing at him with John, said, "Look at us. Look at us." And he turned his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not possess, but what I have, this I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And he seized him by the right hand and raised him up, and instantly his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up and about, he stood and began to walk, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then in verse 16, there were some who were marveling at this, and Peter makes it clear. It wasn't Peter. Peter's saying, "Don't look at me. It wasn't in my name. It wasn't in my person that this man was healed." But he says in verse 16, "And upon faith in His name." Faith in His name. This needs to be applied to us. We need to have faith in the Lord's name.
Amen.
We have to have faith in the Lord's person.
Amen.
That He's the highest one in the universe. All power and authority is given to Him. If he says, in my name, tell that man to rise up and walk, we have to have faith in that name. Then he goes on, his name has made this man strong, whom you behold and know, and the faith which is through him has given him this wholeness of health before you all. We have to realize it's not our person, it's not our name that's needed for the carrying out of the Lord's work. But we need to have faith in His name. That when we are in Him, when we are in Him, we are in this one, doing things not in ourselves, but in His name. And when we do things in His name, the Father backs us up. The lame will walk. The sinners will be saved. Backslidden ones will be recovered. Because we learn to do all things in His name. I take great comfort in this. It's not in my name. Meaning it's not committed to my person to carry out the work. But rather the Father has committed His Son to us so that we could learn how to live in this person and carry out our work in this person. Then B, it is vital for us to see that to be in the name of the Lord Jesus means that we are one with Him. That we are in Him and He is in us. So Peter and John, when they were there going up to the temple, they must have been in this person. That's why they could say, in His name we tell you to rise up and walk. Don't think that they could have just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, if they were not at that moment in the Lord and the Lord in them. We have another account in the book of Acts, Acts 19, where you have these seven sons of Sceva. And they tried to use the name of Jesus. I think we're all familiar with that story, but let me just read it to you again. Acts 19. And so, this is starting in verse 13. But some of the Jewish exorcists who also went about took it upon themselves to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of a certain Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, doing this. And this evil spirit answered and said to them, Jesus I know, and with Paul I am acquainted, but who are you? Okay, I won't read the rest of the story. But who are you? You're doing this in your own person. And you're just trying to take this name and use this name. But you have no reality of that name that you're using. They knew that these ones were not in the person of the name. Yeah, you just go back to Paul, Peter. In Acts chapter 3. I mean, we all know Peter's history, right? Isn't this the same person that the Lord looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan? Isn't this the same person who denied the Lord three times? Isn't this the same person who, after denying the Lord three times, disobeyed the Lord and took some brothers with him to go back fishing? It's the same person. But he's not doing something there in Acts 3 in his own person. Now he is someone in Christ. And Christ is in him. And he is learning how to live and work in this person. To do things not in his own person. To do things not in his own name, but to do things in the name of Jesus. So one says, to be in the Lord's name is to be in his person, in himself, and to be in the sphere, an element of all that he is. To be in the Lord's name is to live by the Lord and to let the Lord live in us. When we are in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are in Christ. Christ is in us, and we are one with Christ. So, saints, the Lord's person, right? To be in the Lord's name is to be in the Lord's person. The Lord's person is Spirit, is Spirit. He is the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit. So to be in the Lord, to be in his person, means that we need to be in the Spirit. And to do things in the name of the Lord is to do things in the Spirit. Because today, the Lord in his person is the Spirit. And there is a wonderful practice that brings us into the Spirit, which means it brings us into the Lord. And this practice is the practice of calling on the name of the Lord. So on one hand, this message is not on calling on the name of the Lord. It's on our learning to do all things in another person, in the Lord. Yet, even though this is not a message on calling on the name of the Lord, we must touch the matter of calling on the name of the Lord, because calling is a simple way for us to get into the Spirit, to get into this person, to do all things in this person. So Paul tells us, no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. When you say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is Lord. Right away, where are you? In the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is the Spirit. So this is why we need to learn how to do all things calling on the name of the Lord. Don't do something and after you do it, say, I do this in the name of the Lord. You may find out the Lord may not acknowledge you because you were not in Him. But if we would learn, as we are about to speak something, as we are about to do something, we just are calling on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right away, we're in Him. We're joined with Him. And what we would do, what we would speak, would no longer be in our person, but would be in His person. How many times in our person have we gone to say something? Or have gone to react? But we remember to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, I just feel like I need to just ask the Lord, Lord, remind me to call on your name before I say anything, before I do anything. Remind me to be in your person, which simply means to be in the Spirit. Before I called, I had a lot to say. I begin to call, oh Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, I have nothing to say. Because this person is not saying anything. Or I had a certain reaction. I call, I get into this person. And I find out he's not reacting. Even after my suggesting, perhaps it is worthwhile of a reaction, he still has no reaction. And I keep calling, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. So eventually, what I say, what I don't say, what I do, what I don't do, it's not a matter of me saying or not saying those things in my person, but it's in the person of the Lord. Amen. So we really need to treasure this practice. Calling on the Lord. Amen. Saints, calling on the Lord brings us into oneness with this Lord, with this person who is the highest one in the universe. So I'd like to give us 8 points related to the purpose of calling on the Lord. Why do we call? One, we call to be saved. That's Romans 10:13. We call too to be rescued from distress. This is Psalm 18:6. In fact, there are many references in the Psalms of one's calling on the name of the Lord to be rescued from distress, from sorrow, from pain. Three, we call on the name of the Lord to participate in the Lord's mercy. Psalm 86:5. We call for to partake of the Lord's salvation. This is Psalm 116, right? What should I give unto the Lord? We can't give the Lord anything, but we can take His name and call upon His name and receive the cup of salvation. Five, we call to receive the Spirit. To receive the Spirit. Acts 2:17 and 21. Six, we call to drink the spiritual water and to eat the spiritual food. Isaiah 55:1. Seven, we call to enjoy the riches of the Lord. This is Romans 10:12. So Romans 10:13 is whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then preceding that in verse 12, it says that the Lord is rich to all who call upon His name. You know, verse 12 doesn't apply to the unbelievers. And it doesn't apply to just the newly saved ones. This applies to all the believers. The more we call, the richer the Lord becomes to us. Then eight, we call on the Lord's name to stir ourselves up. This is Isaiah 64:7. So why don't we call? Right? The purpose of calling, 8 points, or maybe we could say the benefit we receive by calling is in these 8 points. But for this message, may the Lord refresh Amen. Our calling on Him. Amen. Calling on that name that is the highest name. Amen. That calling would bring us into oneness with such a person, the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's in this one that we do all things. Amen. Okay, we'll go on to Roman numeral 3. As revealed in the Gospel of John, our being in the name of the Lord Jesus involves the divine Trinity. A, in John 5:43 says that the Son came in the name of the Father. So he came, but he came in the name of the Father. And then 14:26 says that the Father sent the Spirit in the name of the Son. In these two verses, the divine Trinity is revealed. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. One, to say that the Son came in the name of the Father indicates that the Son and the Father are one. So that's why the Lord said, you see the Son, you see the Father. Because the Father and the Son are one. To say that the Father sent the Spirit in the name of the Son indicates that the Father is one with the Son. One. B, the Son came in the name of the Father and did things in the name of the Father. The fact that the Lord came in the name of the Father means that he came with the Father and in the Father. This means it was equivalent to the Son being the Father. So when the Son spoke, that was the Father speaking. When the Son worked, that was the Father working. Because the Son and the Father are one. So in John 10:25, the Lord said, the works which I do in my Father's name, these works testify concerning me. So he's doing a work, and he does the work in the name of the Father, yet these works testify concerning the Son, showing that the Father and the Son are one. When the Son works, the Father works. When the Father works, the Son is working. Well, brothers and sisters, we have been brought into this wonderful person, the Son. When we learn to do all things in this wonderful person, it's not just that we are doing them in the Son, with the Son, but also we now are brought into the realization that as we are working in the name of the Son, the Father is working with us. It's not us carrying out the work. It's not us struggling to accomplish something. But we are just learning to do all things in the Son. And what is the Son doing? He's just doing the Father's work. And when the Son works, the Father works in the Son's working. So to me, like I said earlier, this is a tremendous release to realize God is not entrusting His work into me, the person. He's entrusted the work into His Son. But He's given to me His Son and the name of His Son so I can learn to do all things in the Son. And when I'm doing things in the Son, in the person of the Son, it's not me doing it, it's the Son who's doing it. But it's not just me and the Son. The Father is now acknowledging that this is His Son. And the Father also does His work. But somehow we always just begin to focus on our person. And many times that's very negative because we just realize in our person, who are you? Right? Just like those demons said to the sons, who are you? We're nothing. But the Father has committed the Son to us. And of course, there's always a danger that when we are in the Son, and the Son is doing His work in us, and the Father is working to carry it out, and there's a result in the work, there's a danger that somehow we want to have our name attached to the work, to the result. Even among us, we are not so careful in our speaking about the Lord's move in places. Because we do hear the reports of the Father working in the Son. Today, on the earth, by certain ones learning how to do things in the name of the Son. And there's a certain result that comes forth from the Father working. From the Father acknowledging, this is not these brothers doing the work. This is my Son who's doing this work. And these brothers are just learning to do this work in my Son. Amen. In His name, not their name. And the Father will acknowledge it and carry something out. But because we're so fallen, after the Father works, carries something out, we attach a name to it, but not the name of the Son. Oh, that place. Oh, that's where brother so-and-so is. Implying it was brother so-and-so who carried that out, who worked that out. We need to learn to be careful. It was not brother so-and-so. It was the Son. But that brother or brothers at that time were learning to do the work, not in their person, not in their name, but in the Lord's person. I just feel, for me, I need this light, because we can do a lot of work without much result. And then we wonder, Father, why are you withholding the result? Are we not doing your work, carrying out your purpose, your economy? Are we not following the principles we've been shown? But the Father knows, you're still carrying out this work in your person. And He knows, if He were to work with you, and there's a result, then a damage will come in, because your name, your person, gets attached to that work. Even I just appreciate, just now as I'm speaking, the Lord touching me. That's why many times when the Son worked and the Father worked in the Son and there was a result, the Son didn't glory in the result. And it says many times He withdrew. He withdrew to spend time with the Father. Okay, let's go on. Point two. The Son was one with the Father and lived by the Father, and the Father worked in Him. The Father worked in Him because the Son was one with the Father and the Son lived by the Father. So we have John 6:57, where the Lord says, as I live because of the Father. So His living, and then not only His living, but His work was because of the Father. He took the Father as the source of His living and work. But John 6:57 doesn't end there. It opens up a way for us now to be brought in, because the Lord says, and so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. How can we be brought into a oneness with the Lord, just as the Lord was one with the Father in His living and work? The Lord opened to us the way we can be brought into oneness with Him. Do all things in Him. Do all things taking Him as our person. Doing all things taking Him as the source of our living and work is by our eating of Him. By our eating of Him. So this message has two practical handles for us to take and apply in our daily living, for us to enter into the reality of doing all things in the name of the Lord, doing all things in the Lord, in His person, one with Him. The first we touched was the matter of our calling on His name. Now we have the second practical handle, is our eating of the Lord. Our eating of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's quite a burden here that we would begin our day by eating the Lord. If you want to respond to this word, to do all things in the name of the Lord, how you begin your day will determine whether or not throughout the remainder of the day you are doing things in the Lord as your person. Don't think that you can wake up and just immediately go about the activities of your day. And then at some point in the day, you will be doing something in the name of the Lord. No, it's a necessity, and even in some recent reading of the collected works, Brelly brought out, it's even a legality. And don't be bothered by that word. You know, Amrit, are you alive? Well, I'm not convinced yet. Are you alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. He's alive. Okay. What has caused you to be alive today? Well, you've been breathing. Brother, I feel you're very legal about the matter of breathing. You shouldn't be so legal about always breathing. Why don't you just don't be legal anymore, brother? Be free. Stop breathing. Okay, the second he stops breathing, you better jump into action, Jonathan, right? It's a serious matter to stop breathing. Well, okay, so he keeps breathing, but he eats and drinks every day. I feel you're very legal about this eating and drinking every day. You should stop eating and drinking. No, you know, our living has certain necessities that actually must become legalities to us. And we can apply this, these things in the physical realm, to the spiritual realm. If we're going to be those living Christ, if we're going to be those who are one with Christ, we must begin our day by eating Him. We must have an adequate start to our day, an adequate amount of time of eating the Lord. Now, don't come to me and ask me what is an adequate amount of time. How about you learn to be in Him and ask Him, Lord, what is an adequate amount of time? But it's not a minute. It's not 2 minutes. That I can tell you. That is not an adequate amount of time. Anyway, our brother uses different lengths of the minimum, you know, amount of time. I won't mention them, but I just felt his heart was desperate for the saints. Having heard about eating the Lord, yet in their daily living, still not practicing to eat the Lord. Or having something that was just not adequate, just too quick, too short. Not enough substance there of eating the Lord. And then that frustrates our living of the Lord throughout the day. So saints, I just share this. To do all things in the name of the Lord, we need to practice calling on His name. And we must practice beginning our day by eating the Lord. And just find a way. Find a way. It's a necessity. It's a legality. Once it becomes a legality, you just realize, I've got to do it. Okay, I have a busy schedule, but still, we can find time. We can get up 10 minutes earlier, 15 minutes earlier. And you know, saints get in their mind and they get into their reasonings and excuses. And even after Brother Lee shared this one time, a saint goes, well, I work night shift, right? So how can I have morning revival? Our brother, being a wise, loving father, said, well, it doesn't matter what time you get up. Whatever time you're beginning your day, begin it by having a time of eating the Lord. I think the point got through, right? How do we begin our day? By eating. Eating brings us into oneness with the Lord. Brings us into the Lord's person. So that eventually it's not we who live, but it's the Lord who lives in us. And then eventually it's not we who serve. It's not we who do the work, but it's the Lord in us that is doing the work. Okay, see, the Father sent the Spirit in the Son's name, and the Son sent the Spirit from the Father. The Spirit being sent by the Father in the Son's name, so it's like the Father says, I send you in the name of the Son, implies that both the Father and the Son are the sender of the Spirit. According to John 15:26, the Son sent the Spirit from the Father. So who sent the Spirit, the Father or the Son? Yes, the Father and the Son. They were one in sending the Spirit. Okay, three, the Son sending the Spirit from the Father and the Father sending the Spirit in the Son's name refer to the same thing. Both the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. This indicates that the Father and the Son are one. So when we are in the person of the Son, we're not only one with the Son, we are one with the Father. Amen. We are one in what the Father is doing. This is why the Father will carry out His works. Then Roman numeral 4, let's read this together. In our daily life and our service in the church, we need to do everything. Okay, daily life. This is back to the point, the genuine church life is experienced by us, 95% of it is in our daily life, our daily living. So it's not just when we are in the meetings of the church, it's not just when we come together to coordinate for the service in the church that we now want to do everything in the name of the Lord. We need to have our daily living in the name of the Lord, in the Lord's person. A, because the name denotes a person, to do things in the name of Jesus means to do all things in His person. I forgot to mention that we became involved in the name of the Lord at the time that we were saved. We called on the Lord's name, and we received the Spirit. And then at our baptism, we were baptized in the name of the Lord, and even into the name of the Lord. So from the beginning of our salvation, particularly from the time of our baptism, we have been a person that is in the Lord. And now our daily living needs to be in the reality of this. The reality of our being put in another person. That we need to carry out our daily living, not in our person, but in another person. Amen. The Lord Jesus. And as I mentioned, this person, the Lord, is the Spirit. So we need to learn how to do all things in the Spirit. Okay, A1. Doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus is the basic aspect of our Christian life. This is the basic aspect. The Christian life in its most basic aspect is I need to do all things in the Lord. To do all things in the Spirit. Maybe you think, oh, now I'm a Christian, I need to go to church. Well, before that, you need to be in the Lord. Amen. Then you might think, well, if I'm a Christian, now I should be kind. Now I should be giving hospitality. Well, before you're kind, before you're giving hospitality, the first thing, the most basic thing, is to learn to be doing everything in the Lord. In the Spirit. This is the most basic aspect of our Christian life. Maybe today we become so complicated, we think to be a Christian, well, I need the Holy Word for morning revival, and then I need, you know, the recovery version with footnotes and a reading schedule, and then the life studies, the reading schedule, and then I need to be in the prayer meeting, the small group meeting, the Lord's Day meeting, then I need to be in a vital group with vital companions, going out to preach the gospel to sinners, and then I need to go visit the ones I preach the gospel to, you know, nourish them and feed them. So we have this list, right? This is what it is to live the Christian life. But we may have that list, and by the way, all those things I mentioned are wonderful, wonderful practices of the Christian life. But we shouldn't practice those things, neglecting the most basic aspect of the Christian life, of doing everything in the Lord, in the Spirit. So when I'm having morning revival, why am I having morning revival? To get into the Spirit. To begin my day getting into the name, Amen. Into the person of the Lord. Amen. When I go to preach the gospel, instead of being so much in myself, oh, how am I going to convince him, persuade him to believe? Just be in the Lord. Amen. Then I go in the Lord, I say something, and even what I say, I don't think it's that great, that profound. But I said it in the Lord. The Father backs me up. That person gets saved. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of leading someone to the Lord. That I'm like, that was too easy. Shouldn't I have said more? The problem is when I say more, then they don't get saved. Have you not discovered this? Like the gospel preaching? It's not that heavy of a burden when you learn to do it in the Lord. But oh, when you feel like you have to do it in your name, it's like, well, how am I going to persuade this one to get saved? Anyway, a lot of testimonies we could share, right? Of these kinds of experiences. But let's go on to point two. We should be able to say that we do the ordinary things of our daily life in the name of the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul just mentions you're eating, you're drinking, and whatever you do of the ordinary things, we need to do these to the glory of God, right? We need to do these things where God would be expressed. Well, the only way we could eat, drink, or do ordinary things is to learn how to do things in the name of the Lord. In the Lord Himself. So this means that when you become a parent with a newborn, you are not removed from carrying out the Lord's work. Because now you can learn how to do all things in the name of the Lord as you are waking up at 2 a.m. to pick up a crying baby, right, that needs to be fed, right? It's very ordinary. All babies get hungry, right, and need to be fed. They need their diapers changed. But instead of doing it in ourselves, we learn to do it in the Lord. In the Lord. As we speak to our spouse, as we're speaking with our children, as we're going to the office to be there with other people, We are practicing not to go in our own person, but to go in the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, because we go in the Lord, whatever we're living, expressing, our name is not there. That's not me. That's the Lord. That's the Lord in the office, being able to work with that colleague, being able to carry out my job in a very proper way, being able to work on the team with others. Eventually, we want them all to know, that was not me, that was the Lord. One time I took a class. I was burdened for my teacher. I wanted to preach the gospel to her. She was older than me. She was a Jew. Her husband was a philosopher. And the whole semester, I'm in my mind, how am I going to preach the gospel to her? How am I even going to have an opening line to preach the gospel to her? But at some points of the semester, I must have been in the name of the Lord. I must have been in the Lord's person. Because at the end of the semester, I had to take the exam by myself because I couldn't take it with the rest of the class. And after I finished the exam, she said, would you like to know, you know, your grade, whether you passed? And I said, sure. She said, okay, come to my office. So I sat in her office while she graded the exam. She graded it. She put it down. She says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I didn't know if it was about the exam or not. She says, why are you so peaceful? Why am I so peaceful? But right away, I was able to speak to her in the name of the Lord. In the Lord's name, to let her know, I'm not peaceful. I'm actually quite full of anxiety. Right? Did I pass the exam or not? I'd like to know. But I was able to speak about this person, the Lord. And I realized there must have been something of this ordinary student in her class that she just observed. There was something else, something of peace there. But that's not my name, right? I can't say that's Craig Birchler. He's just a really chill guy, peaceful. No, I was able to mention the Lord's name. The only way I could have peace is because I have the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is in me and I am living in Him. So the Lord opened the way for me to preach the gospel to this one. Okay, B, our service in the church requires that we do everything in the name of the Lord. Saints, this message now applies to all of us. Our service, whether it's with the creche, the little kids, the high schoolers, the uni students, with the working saints, ushering, love feasts, cleaning the bathrooms, our service in the church requires that we do everything in the name of the Lord. Our service must be initiated by the Lord and be according to His desire. So in Matthew 7:21, we know in that day when the Lord returns and some believers stand before the Lord, and they will not receive the reward from Him. They will say, but did we not do all these things in Your name? And the Lord will say, I did not know you, or I do not in those things acknowledge you, because you did not do those things in Me, according to My will. Rather, you did those things in your own person according to your own will and desire. Saints, this should be a warning to us in our service. It's easy for us to be involved in a service in our own person according to our own will. We need to learn how to serve in the Lord and to take His will as our will. So I'd like to give you 4 points regarding our labor. All our labor, one, must be related to God's eternal purpose, not our purpose. Two, it must be out of the Lord's initiation according to His will. It must be by the Lord's power and not out of our natural strength or energy. And it must be unto His glory and the building up of the church. It should not be something through which we seek our own glory to build up a name for ourselves in the church. This is a great temptation to build up a name. Like we saw last night, in all of us, there's the sin of leprosy. You know, and that sin of leprosy could erupt at any time. This is why we need the razor. We need the cross applied to the self. Okay, two, the service for the building up of the church is a life ministering service. The service of supplying others with the divine life. So, in your person, do you have anything in your person of life? Anything that could be ministered of life to the saints? No, this is why we have to do everything in the Lord's name, in the Lord's person, because only in Him is life.
Amen.
Right? 1 John 5:11. In the Son is life. He who has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. So when you are in the Son, you are in this life. And you have this life to minister to others. But if you're not in this one, then you don't have life to minister. So A, the church service is to supply life, for it is a service of life. As serving ones, we need to be deeply impressed with the necessity of being able to minister life. So here we have 1 John 5 in verse 11. You know, He's given us His life, the eternal life. This eternal life is in the Son. He who has the Son has the life. Then in verse 14, it says that we can ask anything according to His will, and He hears us. Then in verse 16, that we can ask, and the one who's asking will give life to the brother who is sinning. Well, how can we ask and give life to the brother if life is not in us? It's only in the Son. Well, it's by our learning to do all things in the name, in the person of the Son. Being one with the Son, we realize when the Son sees a brother sinning, the Son is not there criticizing the brother, condemning the brother, judging the brother. The Son is clear. The reason why this brother is sinning is he's short of life. Don't rebuke him. Don't criticize him. Don't judge him. Ask for him that the Son would give him life. And you, when you go to contact that sinning brother, don't contact him in your person. Because most likely in your person, they will be condemning. They'll be judging. You may say nothing of those words, but that brother just senses in your person, you're despising them, you're judging them, you're condemning them. But you go in the Lord. You go in His person. You're going in the one who's full of life. And you maybe don't say anything. That's spiritual to the brother. You know, like, brother, oh, I've come to see you. I feel so burdened to share something from, you know, the word to you. No, you might just say, hey, brother, I've just been thinking about you. And I just felt to call you. And you don't even say the words, hey, brother, I've been thinking about you because I haven't seen you in the meetings. Right away, you say that. He's like, he's here to condemn me, right, for not going to the meetings. And you may not mention the sin the brother's involved in. You know, oh, brother, I'm so burdened for you because I know you're sinning. And brother, stop that. Don't do that. Come back to the meetings, brother. No. But you go in another person, in this one who is life, even when you just greet the brother. Hi, brother. Something of life gets ministered to that brother. You finish speaking. You never mentioned once about him coming back to the Lord. You never mentioned once about him coming back to the meetings. But you leave And when the brother, he just begins to say, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry that I've been away from you. And then a few weeks later, he comes to the meeting. What happened? Life got ministered. We need to be these ones in the churches today. In this one who is life. So that when we touch the other saints, they get life. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 4 altogether. Our speaking, all our words, should be in the name of Okay, this is quite a sobering point. Oh, I just wanted to mention, Brother Nee said that the measure of our ministry is not the measure of our activity. Right? We may feel our ministry, our service is quite good because of all our activity. Actually, the measure needs to be life. Right? And life is this person, the Son. Okay, but here this is sobering regarding our speaking. To do all things in the Lord includes our speaking. So, A, no corrupt words should proceed out of our mouth, not only that which is truthful and, but only that which is truthful and give grace to those who hear. Every idle word which men shall speak, they will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. So we have to realize whatever we speak in the name of the Lord Jesus becomes what the Lord Himself speaks. But there are many things that we do not speak in the name of the Lord. And this is what the Lord calls the idle words. Okay, one, an idle word is a non-working word, an inoperative word, having no positive function, being useless, unprofitable, unfruitful, and barren. Idle words are redundant words, right? You just repeat something again and again. They're incongruous words. That means they're inconsistent words. They're unsuitable words. They just don't fit the conversation. They're also unnecessary words. And they're also gossiping words. In the day of judgment, those who speak such words will render an account concerning every one of them. Saints, this is the Lord. The Lord said in Matthew 12, verse 36, every idle word, the one who spoke those, will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. So actually, every word we speak will be spoken twice. In this age when we speak it, and in the next age when we stand before the judgment seat. So we need to learn how to speak in the name of the Lord, in the person of the Lord. Oh my, when we learn to speak in the Lord's person, we who once had a lot to say, we find out we don't have that much to say anymore. You know, naturally I like to joke, but as I learn to do things in the Lord, I find out the Lord's not so happy with always trying to make something a joke or funny. But you know, there's another side to this too, with our speaking, is we need to learn when the Lord says to speak, that we would speak. Even when we prefer not to speak. All our speaking needs to be in the Lord. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 6. The gospel of God makes it clear that we should pray in the name of the Lord. Okay, so we should, in the previous point, have the realization that whatever we speak in the name of the Lord is the Lord speaking. And whatever we speak outside of the Lord is not the Lord speaking. And here I'm praying. We need to see that whatever we ask in the name of the Lord, it becomes what He Himself is asking. This is the significance of praying in the name of the Lord. You know, today many Christians know this phrase that whatever you ask, ask in my name and it will be given to you. But what they don't understand is that it's not just merely after you have prayed and asked the Lord for all the things that you want, that you then put a little stamp at the end to say, and this, and we ask this in your name. But there's no reality of being in the Lord's name, being in the Lord's person. And the Lord would say, I'm not asking for any of those things. So how can you say you're asking this in my name? So actually, to pray in the Lord's name requires that we have a living union with the Lord to back it up. Because we've been having a living union with the Lord, learning how to do all things in this person, when we go to pray, we don't pray from our person, from our will, from our burden, but rather because we are in this wonderful person, he makes known to us his burden, his will, and that's what we pray. But it's not we who are praying, it's him who is praying in our praying. It's not merely him, we who are asking, but actually it's him who's asking in our asking. So A, there are a great number of Christians who do not know that it is necessary for believers to pray in the name of the Lord. Praying in the Lord's name means that we are living in union with the Lord, are united with him, and allow God to be manifested through us. When we pray in the name of the Lord prays together with us. In John 15:7, the Lord says, my words abide in you. When we abide in the Lord, in his person, he abides in us. And his words will abide in us. We will know what is it that he is asking. What is it that he is praying? What is his will in this matter? But you notice in John 15 that the order of abiding is first we have to abide in the Lord, and then he will abide in us. So if we want the Lord's words to abide in us, we must have a daily living of abiding in him. Then we will learn how to ask in his name. Then in John 14 through 16, the Lord Jesus clearly pointed out that prayers in the name of the Lord by those who live in the Lord are prayers that accomplish God's will. Okay, how about brothers, you read 1 and sisters read 2.
All real prayers in the name of the Lord are in accordance with God's will.
So to pray in the Lord's name is equal to doing God's will, and it accomplishes God's will because we are not asking from our person, but we're asking from the Lord's person. We're not asking according to our will, we're asking according to his will. And the Father recognizes this. The Father acknowledges this prayer is not from your person. This prayer is coming from the person of my Son. That's why the Father says, when you will ask in the name of my Son, it will be given to you. It will be done because the Father will acknowledge, this is not you, but this is my Son who is asking this. Well, may the Lord bring us into the living and the experience of doing all things in the name of the Son. Amen. How about we pray with our neighbor right now? Yeah.